Hello and welcome to the Miracle Moon podcast with me, Dr. Frankie Harrison, a clinical psychologist and Georgie Miracle Moon co-founder. As two NICU mums, we want you to know that you are not alone.
We'll be talking to professionals in the field, parents on their journeys after NICU, and exploring and validating common thoughts and feelings that NICU parents so often experience, but no one talks about.
So whether you're listening to this in NICU now, or if NICU has been a part of your past, just know that what you feel is valid, what you experienced is hard, and that there is a whole community of NICU parents here to support you. Come and join us. Hello and welcome to the Miracle Moon podcast. In this episode, we are speaking to Emma at Cover My Bubble. We will be discussing her experience of neonatal care, which sadly ended in her daughter Lily dying from meningitis. Emma talks openly and vulnerably about her experience, which I know will help so many parents who have been in similar situations. We talk about how Emma stays connected to Lily and how she started Cover My Bubble, a family-run insurance company, as a result of the experience. We're also going to be talking about all things insurance, why it's important, what it is, what it can cover, and the free benefits that you can get alongside it in the hope that it helps other people financially in and out of the neonatal experience. We hope you enjoy it.
So welcome, Emma, from Cover My Bubble. Bit of a mouthful there, stumbling over my words. But yeah, it's lovely to have you here. So thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Lovely. So we wanted to get you on because we think that this is such an important topic, and you talk about insurance, you talk about your experience of being in neonatal care and your experience with Lily in such a way that is that people can really relate to, and it is such an important topic that I just don't think gets discussed. Is it almost like a little bit taboo, or, you know, talking about insurance or kind of money in that kind of way? So I think it's important that we talk about it today. Yeah. So I wondered if you would be able to just tell us a little bit about your journey. So maybe throughout your kind of NICU experience yourself and what kind of brought you to Cover My Bubble.
Yeah, of course. So, well, we were pregnant with Lily. We already had a little boy who was four at the time, and the pregnancy was going really, really well, no issues at all. And then one day I was a little bit constipated. Can I actually go into that? And I was struggling to go to the toilet, and then all of a sudden I felt something at the front and panicked. I thought it was Lily's head being truthful, and I didn't know what the heck was happening. So obviously screamed for my husband, laid down on the bed and rang for an ambulance, and they just said they'd let me know that it was my membranes that was erupting. And I was like, but why? And it was just a bit of a whirlwind, really. So we got rushed to the nearest hospital and then told that there weren't enough beds, so they give me the injections to help her lungs and everything, because they said she is coming. And we got whisked off then to Preston Hospital, another hospital a little bit, because they did have some beds, and got there, got seen, and had stayed in bedridden for a couple of days, really. They said, you know, your contractions aren't quite normal. We're not sure if she's coming now or not. And then after a couple of days, they said, right, you can get up, go to the toilet and, you know, walk around. I think you're okay. Didn't check me at all, by the way. So I was still a bit scared to move, but hubby went home, got some clothes and came back. And this was about 1 o'clock that afternoon. And I got up and brave to go to the toilet at like 1:30. And too late, Lily was born in the toilet. I couldn't catch her. Wow. And everything just went chaos from there, to be honest. She got whisked away. I was bleeding and got took to another room. And it was just crazy, really, to be honest. But then I'd lost so much blood, I couldn't see Lily. So obviously that, for hours, I was just screaming, I want my baby. Is she okay? Is she still with us? But my husband managed to wheel me up a few hours later. And I just couldn't stand up. I was so weak, but I had to see her. And she was doing okay. Yeah, she was in her incubator, usual look with all the beeps going off and little goggles on. And, you know, she looked like a little alien, as I called it.
Yeah.
But it was just nice and relieved to see her and know that she was there, she was doing well. And that was our journey, really, in that hospital until I think it was about a week later, her bowels burst further down in her bowels. So she had to get rushed to Manchester Hospital to have surgery. So we got whisked off again in an ambulance. And the funny thing is, when we got to the ambulance, Lily had been taken by the medical crew, and me and Chris ended up getting stuck in the hospital lift. Everything brought down and the lift froze, and we were stuck in this lift. And I'm thinking, oh, as if we're not going through enough.
Oh my God.
Why are we now stuck in this bloody lift? What's going on?
Could something have gone right?
No, do you know, it was just, you couldn't write it. You couldn't write it. So we obviously then managed to get out. Everything was fine. We went to go and see the doctor, and he actually explained to us that, you know, she's got less than 10% chance of surviving this. So we waited anxiously in a little bedroom that they had for hours. They finally came to us that evening and then actually said to us, no, she's done well. She survived it. And we was like, oh my God, yes, my little fighter. She was just doing amazing. Then a week later, it happened again, but further down the bowels. So she had to go again, have the same operation. We thought there's no chance she's survived. They just, she couldn't possibly do it. And she did. She survived again, which we were just blown away by. So then the next couple of weeks, we were just spending time with her. She was growing, putting weight on. She was doing so well. But then you could start seeing she was struggling with edema and other little things. And you could tell she was griping. She was in pain. And that's then when they pulled us to one side and said she had meningitis in and around the brain, and there wasn't anything that they could do. So we had to say goodbye. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's okay. It's all right. You're allowed. It's hard.
No. I like talking about her, though. I do like talking about her. It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a month that we went through that crazy journey. So, yeah.
It is so much to go through, isn't it? So much. And especially, you know, the amount of procedures and the moving and everything that you had to go through. Yeah, and how well she did.
She was amazing, weren't she? She looked absolutely
amazing. Yeah, totally.
No, that's a lot of strength from you and from her. So what is it? What kind of things do you do, or, you know, currently, or what did you do then that helped you kind of cope with all of that, with losing Lily and throughout that whole experience? What helped you?
I think afterwards was very, very tough. I did take to drinking wine. So every night I'd have a glass, two or three glasses of wine just to help me go asleep, just to block out. I was really struggling that I had this little box with all of Lily's things in, but didn't really, I didn't have her. It just didn't make sense. None of it made sense. Like, why was it happening? Why did it happen? What did I do wrong? So I did beat myself up for a long time because nobody gave me any reason. Nobody. But at the time, there was no support, being truthful. There wasn't any counselling or, you know, any support at all. My GP wasn't any good. And it was just one day, the local vicar, I don't know why, because I never went to church, really, only when my sons were younger. But he just turned up at my door and I just fell into his arms, just crying, just like, oh my God, who's this person who's just come to see me? How kind and lovely that is. He's reached out, and then there's me sobbing in his arms. I bet he thought, oh my goodness, what the heck's going on? And then he just helped get bits of support for me, really. And it was the midwife from the hospital who looked after Lily at Manchester, Claire. She was so amazing. She was an amazing nurse, but I'd never knew she was a bereavement nurse as well. And she travelled all the way from Manchester to my house to help me with bereavement counselling, which did help. But you know what was harder? I felt like I couldn't talk about Lily because I'd upset people. So to my family and friends and my mother-in-law, I couldn't talk about her. So that hurt me more, which I really struggled with. And it's only been since probably this last 8 years that I've been able to actually talk about her and share her with people. And it's been all right to do that. So I'm so grateful for, you know, people letting me talk about her and including her, because that's really, really, really helped me, really helped me. I know some people prefer not to, but I'm quite an open person, and me being able to talk about Lily's been, it's changed everything really in my mindset and my heart, and I know that she's here with us. Yeah.
And I think
you're helping other people by doing that, because, if people might have felt like you, like they couldn't talk about
children they've lost, and with more and more people like you doing what you're doing, speaking about Lily, which is quite right, you should be able to, then more people will feel like they can do that if they need to as well. So it's really great.
Thank you.
And it's one of those things that, you know, it keeps her alive, doesn't it? It keeps her here. Yeah. It keeps you connected. And if people are aware of her, aware of her name, you know, yeah, talking about her like that. And I know that you've got, like, I saw that mural on your your wall, and you've got that image of of her as kind of as a little girl. And I absolutely love that as a an image. Yeah,
that's how I see her. That's how I see Lily. She's a little 5-6 year old cheeky little girl, and blonde hair like her brothers used to have. And yeah, that's how I see her. Because I don't know, I see other girls around and I think, oh gosh, what would Lily look like? What would she be like? And I just have the weirdest experiences sometimes. Me and my husband went down to London, and we went on the, is it the Emirates over Sky thing? I don't know what it's called. And when we got off it, me and Chris were just walking towards the O2 Stadium, and all of a sudden this man shouted, Lily Pops, come here. And I was like, wow. I just froze, and I turned round, and it was weird. This gorgeous blonde-haired girl who was about 13, 14, which what Lily would have been, and her dad was just calling her Lily Pops. So we say that about Lily. She's our little Lily Pops. And to have that experience, and I just broke down in the street, and Chris just had to grab me because it was just such a strange experience. It was bonkers.
Of course.
But yeah, just gets you sometimes, doesn't it? It just, hits you when you least expect it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that you've got, like you spoke about just then, you spoke about having the kind of box of things, of kind of keepsakes, and then you've got like the little elephant and things like that that kind of comes with you wherever you go, and all of that kind of helps with that connection to her in that way
definitely.
too.
I love a little box, and a box I used to just sit by every day and just smell her. So and even now still I have one of her blankets in a plastic bag, and to this day still smells of her, which I know is just a hospital smell, but that to me is Lily. So I can just open the bag and have a quick sniff, and then I'm like, oh, Lily, and have a look through her things, which has all of like her hospital things in, her little nappies, tiny little nappies, her little hats that people made for her, which were just beautiful, that people spent the time to crochet these beautiful hats, because they were so tiny, there weren't anything that fit them. But I also have a diary in there as well. So every day me and Chris wrote to her, because we wanted her to look back on it to see what she was going through, what she'd achieved, what we were feeling. So every day me and Chris would take turns and writing that. But I haven't read it properly yet. I've got to day 7 and I've read it with Ollie, my other son, who was born after Lily. And I still can't read it. And I'd love to, because I feel like I'm not doing the right thing for her by not reading it. But it's so detailed, it's just heart-wrenching to read it. But one day I will. I'll be able to do it when I'm strong enough to read the rest of it, but we'll see when that'll happen. But the little elephant as well. I love the little elephant. She comes everywhere with me. We go on holiday, little trips, award evenings, or if I've been speaking anywhere, she's always been there. Like, she might not always be on the show. Sometimes she's just in my bag and she's quiet. Or when we've been away and the boys have been at home on their own, they're old enough, by the way, they're 20 and 15 now. We've actually left her at home, then she can keep an eye on her brothers. And me and hubby have had a weekend away on our own with the dogs. And mum and dad time. That's sounds really crazy, lovely. Don't I? No.
No, that's it. Not at all. So I don't know if you've seen that children's book called The Invisible String.
No, I haven't. No.
It talks about that very much. It talks about like when people have died, and talking about that invisible string that kind of connects you to that person, that bond. And I guess that's just what you're recreating, is that kind of connection and attachment in that kind of way. So it's lovely that you're able to do that, either by talking about her or the kind of physical things that you've got. It's just all, you know, ways of connecting and kind of keeping her here. It does, for sure. So can you tell us a little bit then about why you started up Cover My Bubble and how you got there?
Yeah, of course. So I've been in the insurance industry for many years. So it's like 2010 when we initially started, or when I started working for another company, doing insurance and working for a business. I worked my way up from doing lead generation, office space, receptionist, to the office manager, and learned so many different skills. But also my love for insurance just grew because I knew we were helping families. But it just weren't being done how it should have been. It wasn't personal. It was all about making money, get them sales on the board, move on to the next client, sell, sell, sell. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. But I just didn't have the confidence to start out on my own. And a lot of people kept saying, just do it, Emma. Especially a lot of all the business development managers for the insurance companies, they kept saying, just do it. So they all believed in me, but I just didn't. I weren't strong enough at that time. But then I did, something just clicked. We sat down with my family and just thinking, oh, well, what would we call it if, you know, if we were able to do it, what would we call it? And Chris, my husband, just said, oh, Cover My Bubble. And I was like, oh my God, yes. So we've always called our family our bubble. I've been with my husband 22 years and we've always said it. We love going away with our bubble. We love going away for the weekend. Can't wait to get home to my bubble. So we thought, why don't we cover other people's bubbles with the right insurances and it affordable? So when we lost Lily, I lost my income. So that was about £1,200 at the time that we took a massive hit on. We got into debt. We were borrowing money from places we shouldn't have been with high interest rates just to try and get by and keep on top of the rent and the bills. And we just got further and further into debt, being honest with you. And, you know, even I say this a lot, but my husband, we couldn't afford to put £10 in petrol for the car. So we'd cycle to work and back. So it was really, really tough financially, but also still grieving for Lily. Going through all of that, it was like the emotional stress and also the financial stress. So I love now shouting about insurance, letting people know about bump cover, children's cover, life insurance, income protection, critical illness, because if at least I help one person, that then helps me think, I don't want anyone to go through what we did. You know, it weren't just a year we struggled. It was nearly 10 years that spiraled on for, which is a long, long time to be affected financially. And it just drags on the grief even longer. And you just keep blaming yourself over and over again because you blame yourself for me losing Lily. And to this day, I've still not got a reason why it happened because my other pregnancy was fine. But also then blaming myself that I'm now off work and I'm not bringing the money in, but I weren't mentally, physically right to go to work. I couldn't do it. So I do this to help other families and just raise awareness. What's out there? If only we'd have known there are £10 policy out there to cover my income, we'd have been fine. We'd have managed. And then we could have grieved Lily a lot better, if that makes sense. We wouldn't have had the financial grief on top of it, just making it a lot harder.
We are so thankful to Emma at Cover My Bubble for sponsoring our podcast. She asked us not to do an advert, but we so believe in what her company is doing that we really wanted to shout about it. Cover My Bubble is a family-run insurance company. Emma started the company after her daughter Lily spent time in NICU but sadly didn't make it home. Emma was impacted financially by the situation and wanted to support other people so that they don't have to go through the same thing.
Having both been through NICU and not having insurance, we saw the impact that NICU and illness can have on your family emotionally and financially. You can hear more all about the different types of insurance that Cover My Bubble offer on our episode with Emma, but also on their website, covermybubble.co.uk. We believe strongly in this company. They come from the heart and they're working to support families like ours. We know that so many of you will have been impacted emotionally by these issues, but by thinking about insurance, maybe some of the financial pressure could also be alleviated.
So kind of technical questions, the different types of cover that you've got bump cover. Is that the kind of technical name for it? Is that what you would call it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, within the children's cover, they have like 9 pregnancy complications. So I call it bump cover because everybody gets it. Mm. I know insurance, I like to simplify everything because it's so confusing out there in the insurance world. People go online, they try and do it themselves and they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I need. So by me just saying, yeah, bump cover, it's 9 pregnancy complications. It can pay out up to £10,000 for a family. And, you know, we have had one claim, unfortunately, a baby loss claim, and she did receive, you know, £5,000, which helped her take longer off work with her daughter, you know, grieve how she wanted to, because she didn't have to rush back to work. And she ended up spending a longer time off with her daughter, and she said that was the best thing for her, and it really, really helped her. And we're really good friends now, and it's just nice that I've been able to help her through that difficult, difficult time, but also help with that claim as well, which was a difficult claim for her, obviously. But it was my first baby loss claim as well, which were very similar to Lily. So I remember being on the phone actually to an underwriter, trying to push it through, and just in tears, because it just brought back so many memories. But I also had to fight this claim for this lady, because I needed her to get paid out this money so she didn't go through what I did. So it meant a lot to me, and, you know, I'm just glad that I were able to help.
Yeah, that's big that you were able to do that. And I guess if you weren't able to get that support, then being able to support other people in that kind of way is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, so
we've got the bump cover, then you've got things like critical illness cover, life insurance. Those are the kind of the main types of insurance that you have for people, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a big shout out for children's cover, because not many people know that children can be covered for critical illness as well. So there's about 70 different conditions that children can be covered for. So yes, there's the bump cover, but as soon as baby's born, there's birth defect cover as well. So for cleft lips or hip dysplasia, things like that. Again, that's another payout for £5,000 if baby is diagnosed with that condition. But then it turns into children's cover, and that can go up to the age of 22, 23, depending on insurer. But that covers people for, gosh, I've always got to have lists, because there's so many conditions. So there's like cancer, cerebral palsy, cystic fibrosis, Down syndrome, intensive care. You know, that's a big one. If a child is in intensive care for 7 days or more, it's a claimable policy, and not enough people know that. If baby has to have like open heart surgery, or they are born with a child specific condition like Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, spina bifida, you know, again, there's payments there for families that's going to help them through difficult times. And that's my job, is to raise awareness. And although I've been really, really scared to name the conditions, because I've never wanted to upset anybody, everyone who's come through who has lost a baby to me, they've asked me, what are the conditions, Emma? I need to know what is actually covered, because it's that makes me feel secure through my next pregnancy, or secure for my children. And I've really listened to that, and tried to do a lot of my videos very sensitively, really. So the last thing I'd want to do is ever upset anybody, but I just want to educate them really what's there, because there's so much that can be covered now, because everyone thinks, oh, life insurance, it's just when my partner or me passes away. No, why not get a policy that's going to help you through difficult times while you're still here, or for your children, because that's the one that's going to help benefit you for the future, and, you know, not have you been financially unstable. So yeah. I could waffle all day. I'm so sorry.
No, it's wonderful. So I guess, you know, thinking about like our audience being parents who have been through neonatal care, there's multiple ways through that they could claim, either through being in intensive care itself, but all of the conditions for their children, or the conditions for themselves. Like, there's lots of reasons why a parent who's been in neonatal care would be able to claim in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. There's even the income protection side of it, that, you know, if you are working, income protection can actually cover you, that if you are unable to work. So say for myself, obviously, I was then struggling with stress afterwards after Lily was born. I could then have claimed on my income protection policy, but still had a regular monthly income coming in to cover our main bills. Mm. And that way I wouldn't have had that stress. I could have just concentrated more on Lily and being with my other son as well, and then, you know, grieving afterwards. So, you know, there's so many different policies out there that can help families if anything was to happen in the future. But yeah, I'm happy to answer questions. I love questions.
Yeah. And I guess also,
when Margot was on NICU, Greg actually ended up working from the parents' room for most of the 6 weeks. 6 weeks, or he was in a meeting 4 hours away when she had a blood transfusion, because it would have been too tight for us for him to even take compassionate leave, because it would have been statutory and I'm self-employed. So by the time I was, well, she was in NICU, I obviously wasn't, I didn't have an income at that point. And so we've now actually, before we even spoke to Emma through Miracle Moon, we've got cover through Emma. So for if we had a subsequent pregnancy, that was the main driver, to be honest, more than the life insurance.
Yeah. We find that with a lot of families. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the partner bit. I think that's a big one, isn't it? In terms of it would then have freed up him to be able to be there and not have that kind of added pressure from needing to go back to work straight away, which is so common.
For himself, but also for us to be together and support each other through it. Like, it's not just not being there for procedures for your child. It's less that, actually, I think, on NICU. Mm-hmm. It's more about being there for each other at that point, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then 100%. Like, men shouldn't have to choose between, and it does often end up being the man, just because of how maternity leave is structured in most businesses, isn't it? But
yeah, definitely. I think Chris felt the same, to be honest. And actually, when we opened up to do our we did a video about Lily's story, I think in 2018 we did that, or 19 we did that story, and Chris actually opened up to the film producer for the first time ever. And he actually said it was so difficult for him because he wanted to look after Cameron and be with Cameron. And then he wanted to be in the hospital with Lily and also wanting to be there to support me. And it actually killed him that he had to go out to work to try and work for them hours and then rush back then to the hospital to spend the evening and night with us. And then the day after doing the same again. And because it was so difficult to try and keep that money coming in, if only we did have that policy in place that actually he didn't need to have that added stress, because he was affected as much as I was, but he then had a lot more commitments on his shoulder because we needed that money. We needed to pay the rent or we'd have been kicked out of the house. It's just, it's a lot of stress, isn't it, for families when they don't need to go through it. It's just, it's a tough one, really.
And it's just not something I think people even know exists. It's crazy. Yeah, like I just didn't even know. It's just by chance I came across you via someone I followed on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just didn't even know that was a thing. So even now we probably still wouldn't have cover. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like if your child, the worst case, some child falls ill and something happens, just not having that cover would just make the world of difference, wouldn't it?
I think that's what frustrates me, actually. There's so many TV adverts and, you know, sponsored stupid ads online that say life insurance £100,000 or life insurance £5 a month, life insurance £10 a month. It drives me bonkers. You know, what about talking about children's cover? What about talking about income protection, bump cover, even the free benefits that you get with your insurances, you know, your free GP services or mental health support? It's massive. And every time I see an advert, I get so mad because they could be doing so much more. And they're the main insurers. So everyone will come through, they'll think, oh, yeah, we just need life insurance. And then we talk about the other things and they're like, oh, my gosh, really? Can the children be covered? What, I can actually have bump covered? Oh, my God, yeah, we want that cover in place. And it's just, I love talking about all the other benefits and actually educating people. It's not about selling or sell. It's about educating people and letting them know what's out there if anything was to happen. So the insurers need to butt their ideas up. And I've had so many conversations with them to stop shouting about life insurance. Yes, we need it, but there's so much more to insurances that, you know, are better for families. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess people get
scared off, don't they? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go on. I was going to say
get scared off because you put your email address into a comparison site and try and do it yourself, and then you get absolutely harassed by people just trying to sell you something that isn't necessarily correct, and it just makes you go, oh no, thanks, no, I'll ignore that, I'll file that away for another day. And actually it's so important.
That's it. You either look online yourself and it's too confusing, so you think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow because I don't know what I need. Or you then put your details into a gimmicky site there and all that annoy me, these gimmicky ones, or they pay celebrities to shout out about them. It annoys me, because you put your details in and then, like you say, you're hounded by calls. So no matter which way you do it, it's pushing families further and further away from taking out insurance, and that is the wrong way to do it. There's more better ways of doing it, and I'm proud to say that we've created a safe space for, you know, families to talk about insurance, and, you know, I'm proud of that. 5 years in, we're helping so many more families because we are here to educate, we're here to listen, and we keep in contact with our clients, which is a big thing. We're always there chatting with them, and we've had so many clients, I've noticed they've been poorly. So I've reached out to say, you know, I think this can be a claim. And they're like, oh, no, Emma, no, it's not. And a lady, 31, had a heart attack just after having a beautiful baby boy. She had a claim that was £25,000 we managed to get for her. Another lady, her daughter, 14 years old, is now on dialysis. She's been paid out a lump sum of money for that. A lady had a mole on her neck, which was melanoma, but because it had spread a little bit, she received £30,000 just before Christmas. She couldn't believe it. So, yeah, so many families that we've helped through the claims side as well, really. But
It's that education. But I wonder whether people are also put off because they think this is going to be expensive, like the monthly cost as well. But you said just at the beginning there, it can be from as little as, what, like £10 a month?
£5 a month.
£5 a month, wow.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll always work within people's budgets, and everyone who comes through, they're frightened to death that it's going to be £50, £100 a month. And when I send them the email, there'll be about 5 or 6 different options in there, and they'll come back like, oh my God, that is so affordable. I can't believe that it's £20, £30, £40 a month. So everyone's different. You know, if you're a smoker or you've got a mortgage or you do have some medical conditions or a higher BMI, but we've helped so many people and still fitted it within the budgets. And that's the main thing, is that, yes, these are the options available for you. Then the second conversation is, let's tweak it until it's affordable and matches how much you want to pay for it, basically. So, yeah, we've got to give that flexibility, because at the end of the day, I'm not telling you, you need this policy. It's £100 a month, end of, like some companies will probably do. But were we to say, no, you're paying the direct debit. I'm advising you on what's available for your circumstances. Now, if we need to tweak it a little bit to then match your affordability, that's my job. That's what we need to do, and make sure that the whole family is covered if we can do. So, yeah, it has to be flexible. Definitely.
Also, some cover, if you can afford some cover and not the cover that you would necessarily choose, it's better than nothing, isn't it? Just to make sure that you're getting affordable cover for something that would make something easier in tougher times.
Yeah, 100%, 100% agree. I could take you on, Georgie. It's perfect. It's true, though, it is. Some cover is better than nothing at all, and it'll definitely make a difference if you were going through something. And a lady, her daughter was 14 months old and diagnosed with a brain tumour last year, and she could only afford a certain amount per month. So we did £10,000 worth of critical illness each for her husband and also then for her. And when her daughter was diagnosed, you get up to 50% of the adult's cover. So she had a policy paid out for both of them, which was £10,000. That still made a massive difference to her family to receive that money, because that's like 10 months' pay than what her husband was losing. So it's, you know, it's a massive difference, really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the, you know, the thing that you've touched on before as well, those added benefits as well on top of that, you know, as well as, you know, if something, you know, wrong happens, you're covered, but also to get through your everyday, there are potentially some benefits as well. So you said GP services and mental health support. Yeah,
I'm a big believer of these added benefits, and I'm always shouting about them because people are struggling getting through to the GP surgeries for an appointment for them or the children, or they're actually struggling to get through to 111 for some advice. We've had so many of our clients, I'll see them, you know, ranting about 111 or you know, or GP services that they've been struggling with. And I've just messaged them, look, remember, you do have these GP services, and they've reached out. They've, even though I remind my clients about it all the time, we talk about it right from the beginning all the way, but people still forget. So the benefit of us still keeping in contact is that if we see things, I can reach out and say, hey, remember, you've got your GP services. And they've used it. So they booked an appointment within an hour. They've seen a GP face-to-face on the video call. And then they've had a prescription sent to their nearest chemist. And they can't believe it, that that's such a benefit for them and their children, because they still can't get in to the GP surgery for 2 weeks, or they haven't had a call back from 111. So that, and also the mental health side of it, is that they offer free mental health support. So one of our clients, her daughter has been struggling with anxiety, but an eating disorder as well at the age of 13. No help from her GP at all. Long waiting lists for mental health support. So again, I reached out and just said, just please contact your insurer. You know, Royal London have got the Helping Hand. That then they can actually, you can speak to a counsellor. She put the details in, she put a postcode in, and within that, in minutes, she'd booked in with a specialised eating disorder counsellor, face-to-face, just minutes from her house. And she had 10 full sessions to help her through that. And she couldn't believe it, the difference that it's made to her. She now understands the eating disorder. She understands the symptoms, the signs. And it's just changed her life. It's just phenomenal. And that's with the free benefits with her life and critical illness policy. So, yeah, free GP services and mental health support with most of the insurers. So I'll always talk about them as well.
It's life-changing stuff.
Absolutely.
It really is. And that's, you know, that's why I really wanted to have you on. It's why I really kind of believe in what you're doing, because I really do feel like it is life-changing stuff, and things that, you know, people are just kind of sitting there struggling, and it's going like, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be sitting there struggling. There's a lot that we can kind of be doing. So I love how you shout out about it. I love how you're raising awareness and kind of educating people in the process. So I think it's super important.
Thank you.
So that's all right. So just before we kind of wrap up for the end of the day, I was wondering whether you have, we've been filled full of advice in all of this, but do you have any advice for parents who have been through neonatal care?
Do you know, it's a difficult one, because there's so many different scenarios, and it's really just to remember that there is a lot of people going through similar things, but don't think about that. Think about yourself, stay focused on you and your bubble, and then that will make it a lot easier. You know, don't feel guilty on yourself either. This is not your fault why this is happening. It's just so many people, mums and dads, beat themselves up thinking they're to blame, and it's not. You know, like, writing things down and having that diary really, really helped us get everything down, pen to paper. Yes, I can't read the diary in full yet, but at the time, going through that every day, just writing it down made us feel a lot more at ease and took a bit of that added stress off us, because we knew we were doing what was right for Lily. And it is really just going by hour, isn't it, really? And then taking it like that, you know, that it's a tough one to try and advise anybody on, really. I think it's just stay within your little circle and do what's right for you as a family. Forget everybody else. You've got more important things to think about, really.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it is important. It's keeping in your bubble, I guess, and looking after yourselves within that. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming today, Emma. We really appreciate it. And we'll put all your details and how people can get in contact with you in the show notes, so that we've got that.
Thank you very, very much. All right. Thank you for your time.
All right. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd be so grateful if you could rate, comment, or subscribe if you found it helpful. We'd love to see you again. So come and join our community on Instagram at MiracleMoonUK.
You can check out our other resources and services on our website, www.miraclemoon.co.uk. We can't wait to see you there.